I'd like to invite the children to come down front. Everybody, do you remember me?
Yes.
You promise?
Yes, I saw you this morning.
I know, but I've missed you guys. I feel like I've been awake for so long. So it's great to be back this morning to see all of you. Well, I want to share something with you this morning. In the Bible today, Pastor Jeff is getting ready to read some scripture, and it comes from where Apostle Paul says that we should be imitators of God. Who knows what an imitator is? Not you? What is an imitator? Is it something that what?
Somebody who makes something?
Kinda. Caroline? Yes, yeah. It's a person like, let's say, for instance,
If I said, stop it, they would say stop it.
Mm-hmm.
They would keep
calling that. Mm-hmm, exactly. It can be sometimes, but it can be good to, like Tripp, who's your favorite superhero? Do you have a favorite superhero? Does anybody? It could be that we want to dress up like our favorite
I want to dress up as Superman.
You do? So that means like you're imitating Superman, right?
Superman flies in the sky.
Yes, he does. He's strong. He flies in the sky. So we might imitate Lily because she's probably an expert at this, of brushing your teeth or something like that, you know? And Tria, what? Nothing? Okay. So, or we might imitate Cece, how she may brush her hair. And we might copy how she imitates.
Nothing can stop Superman.
Nothing can stop Superman? Mm-hmm. I know. So, do you like to imitate Superman sometime? Mm-hmm. So, there are so many ways to imitate other people. So, I'm thinking of a game in my head. And it's a game that you all probably know. Yes, Caroline. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you're getting to a little point that I'm getting ready to get to. You're exactly right. But let's play a quick game real first, and then we're going to get to that. This game is called Simon Says. Do you know how to play it?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to imitate me. Okay. Simon says, pat your head. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your ear. Simon says, touch your mouth. Simon says, touch your eyes. Simon says, pat your belly. Touch your knees. You did it? That was good. That is good. So, it's easy to imitate another person, but how do we imitate God?
By doing good things.
Not doing the irritating kind. That's right. We imitate God by loving one another. So, God is love. And whenever we do loving things, boys and girls, we imitate God. But when we do hurtful things, like Caroline, you were just talking about, is that imitating God?
No.
No, it's not. So, let's think of some things that we can imitate God by. What are some ways that we can show love to other people? Y'all can just shout them out.
Hug.
Care package. What? Care packages. Making love cookies, yeah.
Sharing cupcakes.
Sharing. What did you say, Kayla? Oh, okay. I thought you said something. Donate. donate things to people. Yes, those are all the ways that we can imitate God. And I know some of you have started to school tomorrow. I think some of you maybe, and some of you have already been in school. So I want you to remember to do the loving things that God calls us to do. And that doesn't mean we're going to always do it, right? Sometimes we're going to fail. But the one good thing that we can say is that God is there to forgive us just long as he loves us, and he'll love us into doing what is always right, okay? So let's bow our heads and say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for showing us how to love one another. Thank you for forgiving us when we do unloving acts. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go with Miss Maggie down to children's.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
At me and Cece's birthday party at gymnastics, me and Cece only got cake, but do you know how I ate? I didn't eat with a fork or a spoon. I just ate with my mouth.
Ah, silly girl.
Hey, Pam. I'm pretty sure that in our preschool, we didn't teach the whole concept of irritation, did we? I'm hoping not. Irritating is such a big word. That's not a grown-up word. That's pretty funny. I love that. Don't irritate him. Yeah. Let's talk about what we do. Will you join me in the affirmation of our faith? Just imagine as we stand, and it's in your bulletin, 2,000 years we've been working to build a way that we can talk about and come around and make a space to encounter and to make some premises that help us to receive God's love and presence and to engage in that. And so we do that with our affirmation of faith. Let us join together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. A heads up on our passage this morning from Ephesians, and because we do love sound bites and snippets and not digging much deeper than that for much of the world that we encounter, we can hear Paul giving us lists of things that we better do and challenges and definitive, this is right and this is wrong sort of things. But Paul is almost always approaching those kind of statements with a therefore, or because this has happened, therefore go and do this thing. There's a something of God at work amongst us that then compels us to embrace these things that he begins to list. And the same is the case this morning. He's in Ephesians has made a long argument and a reminder of all the wonderful things that God has done, in particular bringing us Gentiles and Jews into this gospel and how miraculous and mysterious that is. And we pick up in the fourth chapter then, Paul beginning, so what does this mean? And we live our life day to day. And I'm going to start just a little bit ahead of of what it says in the bulletin, because this passage will help us. In 4:22, he begins, you were taught then to put away your former way of life, your old self that was corrupt and was deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with a new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and in holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing, but rather let them labor and work honestly with their own hands as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption, but put away from you all bitterness and wrath, all anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant and sacrifice, fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I feel pretty certain that many of you will recall hearing this story, perhaps when you were younger, that many years ago there was an emperor so exceedingly fond of new clothes that he spent all his money, all the people's money, on these clothes and being well-dressed. He didn't care much about the other rigors of being an emperor, the things that rulers may attend to. And in fact, if you were looking for him, you would likely find that he was in his dressing room trying on a different coat every hour. But it was a great city in which he lived, and there was commerce, people coming and going all the time. And there were, one day, they were swindlers, quite honestly, that rolled into town. And they said, "We are weavers of extreme talent, and boy, have we got something special for you." They said that we can make a cloth that has amazing patterns and colors like you've never seen before. It's uncommonly fine. And in fact, there's something special about these clothes, that not only do they look great, but this cloth is so wonderful that it can become and does become invisible. If anyone sees it, anyone who is unfit for their particular office sees it, or quite frankly, anyone who is unusually foolish. Unfit or foolish, they can't even see this cloth. It is so fine and wonderful. And naturally the emperor said, "What? This is the clothes for me, right? I mean, he is the king of clothes here." So he hires these swindlers to get to work on these amazing clothes, thinking, "This is going to be great because not only will I look dashing, but I'll be able to tell who my good folks are and who the bad ones are, who's smart and who's not so smart. It's going to work wonderfully." So the weavers began working on this cloth. Of course, you couldn't see what they were doing. They took the best threads and silks and materials and kind of put it off to the side and worked on these giant looms that seemed to have absolutely nothing on them. Working and working and anticipation building and building. The emperor said, "You know, I'm going to send somebody to check on him. But I got to be careful because there's this little bit of risk, not for me, of course, because I am fit for office and I am amazingly intelligent, but I'm going to send somebody to make sure that this cloth is coming along." So he sent his minister. He said, "He is a wonderful man of his office. I know he's dependable. He's smart. He's going to go check it in for me." And so, of course, the minister of his particular office went in. "Oh, my goodness," he thought, "I can't see anything on the loom. This is not good," he thought. "And if anyone should know, am I unfit? Am I foolish? What is going on here? I'm just going to play along." So he said, "You know, this is beautiful. This material is enchanting. It's exquisite," on and on. The swindlers prompted him, as you know the story goes, "And before long, I'm going to tell the emperor he has done a great thing. I can hardly wait." And then left, wondering why it was he couldn't see a thing. Well, the town caught wind of this work in progress, and they too were excited because they said, you know what, this is going to help us see which of our neighbors is wise and which ones that we suspect are fools. So they wanted to see the cloth at work as well. The emperor sent one more emissary, had the same experience. I don't see a thing. He questioned his own integrity, but played along. The cloth is going to be amazing. And finally, at their encouragement, the emperor himself went to see the cloth. What's this? The emperor thought, I don't see anything, and this is terrible. Am I a fool? Am I unfit? Am I unfit to be the emperor? What's going on here? But he simply said, oh, this is very pretty. This is amazing cloth. And as you know, he bought right into the whole thing and was overwhelmed with the amazing cloth that would soon adorn him. And all the while, nothing could make him say that he had not seen a single thing. Well, the whole group is gathered because the procession is about to happen, and they're gathered with the emperor, telling him how amazing these clothes are going to be. This cloth is unparalleled. The emperor's excited. The swindlers are giving him this great show, pulling invisible cloth off a loom, scissors cutting and forming and sewing, and before long, it's ready, emperor. And they pretended to hold off a big shirt and the pants, and they fastened it around with invisible belts, and the whole charade went along and along, and no one spoke up because they all were assured that everyone else could what? They could see the cloth. They could see the cloth. Oh, our egos and our fears. Well, the emperor is convinced, of course, to disrobe and put on these things, stand in front of the mirror, and before long, the emperor obviously being a little bit shy, but convincing himself there's never been a finer outfit. And off he went to the procession. The townspeople, of course. Wow, the emperor's clothes are amazing. Look at how well they fit. This is fantastic, as he paraded, well, naked through the town. Wow, never before have the emperor's clothes so accurately and appropriately brought the occasion to a success. And then there was a voice, a child, that said, but he hasn't got anything on.
Did you ever hear such innocent prattle? Said his father, kind of sloughing it away.
And then one person whispered to another and to another, he has nothing on. There isn't anything. There isn't any. And before long, the whole crowd said, there isn't anything on. And the emperor shivered slightly, for he suspected that they may be right. But he thought the procession has to go on. And so he walked more proudly than ever. And his noblemen held high the train that was not there at all. You know the story. Do you remember all of the parts in the middle where everyone pretended to see? Where out of their fear and insecurity and from the ego and from everything else, this inability to tell the truth welled up as a cultural norm. And although we don't want to admit it, this is a pretty accurate picture of the way we default to in our lives. It's the exact picture that the Apostle Paul paints about in Ephesians about how the Gentiles have been separated, how we don't know God, how we're blind, how we are set apart, how we are lost and trapped in our own lies and blindness. Did you hear yourself in this story? We spend an amazing amount of time and effort trying to convince the whole world that we have our act together. That wherever we are, is exactly the way that we planned it. Nothing has unsettled us. Nothing shakes us. And all the while we're convincing the world that we have got it together, we check with everybody else to see if indeed we are being ourselves the way we're supposed to be in their eyes. Are you with me, church? Do you know this feeling? Can you begin to admit to the maybe insecurity, but the sense of where we get our wealth, or our worth, excuse me, where our worth comes from. No one is willing to tell the truth. And there are so many stories that can come our way, so many wardrobes that we choose from. What might we put on? Would it be wealth or power? Are we smart? Are we sexy? Are we competent? Are we unflappable? How about this? Are any of us above the fray? Are we organized? Are we in control of everybody and everything? Are we talented? Are we strong? Are we elite? Are we extraordinary? Or perhaps in pride we're just quiet, or we're very kind. We are a good person. I'm a good person. I'm well behaved. Has anyone said, I'm ethical? I'm ethical. I'm polite. How about religious? We're religious. Or nice. Or common person, the working class. I'm just the salt of the earth. No frills. I'm humble. I'm God-fearing. I'm hardworking. I'm independent. Maybe I'm loving, law-abiding. Perhaps a victim. Perhaps common sense, or we're just doing our part. Keeping my head down, that's who I am. I honor my heritage. I'm ordinary. I'm average. Maybe I'm useless, or broken, or helpless, or nothing, or even a burden. In our culture, there are so many stories, so many things we put on. Are you one of the, you put on these things that I've just mentioned? In our culture, we're so devoutly filled with worship for our individual right to do what we want to do, to live the way we want to live. In that culture, it is almost impossible to hear the truth about ourselves. And it makes our egos an easy mark for the swindlers that come into town, you know, fear and pride. Man, they can sell us a bill of goods before we know what happened. And even when we hear the faintest hint of the truth that might come in the voice of a child playing, we shiver a little bit, as the possibility does raise goosebumps on our naked skin. But like the emperor, what do we do? Come on, church, what do we? We know, because this pulls us and grabs at us. We keep walking even more proudly than ever. Man, isn't it exhausting to keep that story up? Doesn't it wear you out? Don't you feel at times overwhelmed and out of control and helpless, perhaps hopeless and fearful that you can't do anything about it wherever those moments happen? And we keep walking ever more proudly. Look around. We sacrifice our children, many children, to poverty in the name of political power and wealth. Some of our children we offer up on the altars of the gods of, say, intellectual and social perfection, or to the athletic achievement god of fame and victory, or maybe just to the darkness of adult objectification and desires. We offer them up like it's nobody's business, and we keep walking even more proudly than ever. And some of our tribe's most experienced and productive people, listen to this, some of our tribe's most experienced and productive people are senior citizens. Get this, some of them embrace the notion that their whole life experience is somehow just a means of retiring from life, rather than what it truly is, a training and preparation for pouring out every ounce of that wisdom, asset, skill, talent, and vision into the next generation so that we do not have to keep starting over. Man, that's who you are. And yet we keep walking even more proudly than ever. We entangle ourselves in webs of information, fearing that we have to struggle to keep ahead of whoever, or we're not going to get behind whatever. We don't know the whoever or the whatever really is. But at least, man, I'm right on it, right? At least we're in total control of our little empire that is contained on a screen in the palm of our hands. And by golly, we are the best emperors ever because we don't let 5 minutes go by before we check and see how our little empire that we control is doing. Right? Yeah. And we keep walking, ever more proud than ever. Wow. But there's a voice like the child to the emperor that talks to us in Scripture. Apostle Paul is willing, through Jesus Christ, to tell us a truth. And he writes to us that, remember, you were at one time without Christ, having no hope. You were without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off were brought in close through the blood of Christ. He goes on, you were strangers, you were aliens, but now you're part of God's household. You become heirs, members of the same body in Jesus Christ through this gospel, this good news. Do you realize, church, God has destined you for adoption as a child of God through Jesus Christ? In him, Paul says, you and I have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness for the things that we do wrong according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. And he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So this, clothe yourselves with a new self. Clothe yourselves with what? A new self, not the emperor's clothes. Clothe yourself with a new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul's this passage, a little bit of what the life looks like. Unlike the emperor's duds, these things that God has put upon us, these robes of holiness and righteousness, they shine, as Jesus said, like a light on a stand. They shine brightly. They are so visible. It looks something like this, living in this kind of community. Love the truth. Have an honest purpose in daily work. Have a true, deep, altruistic concern for others in need. Have your speech be sincere, not with falsehood or anger or rotten talk and gossip and judgment and, you know, Facebook. Like, not like that, right? And do this so that we recognize that we aren't our own. What a beautiful anthem. Who do we belong? To God, as his children, right? We just sang that, and so we sing praises. We're his. We're his. What a beautiful truth, as Paul continues to call us. All of that work, ownerships, belonging to God, here's the challenge, and I got something, I can see it. For some of us, it's like this. It sounds like another list of unreachable demands, doesn't it? Like, really, I'm trying the best that I can, and you give me truth and be nice and say good things. It sounds like clothes that we want to put on to impress others, and it kind of threatens my ego. And then others say, you know what? No. This is good. The religious folks, they say, this is awesome. Look at the check boxes that I get to check off. I'm good. I'm faithful. I'm loving. I say nice things. I'm kind. God has to love me now, and our egos inflate. But that's not what this text says. And it's not what the gospel says. And if you hear anything, anytime you've ever come to worship in this place, hear this. It says not that you ought to act like somebody. It says that you already are somebody. So act like it. It says that you are people, unbelievably amazing people. You are somebodies in the eyes of God. You are the ones who God has loved. You are the one who Jesus Christ gave his life for to make you amazing and wonderful. We are not uninvolved, wayward nobodies. In fact, we are nothing less than royalty. Royalty. Do you believe it? Royalty. Go ahead and become who you are. And we get this backwards, and I know, church, listen, how many times we think that we have to make the grade with God so that God will then think that we've done a good job. I better be nice because I have to. I better be nice or I'm going to get in trouble. I better be nice or I'm going to irritate God. Do you get how that is totally opposite of the gospel? How the gospel says, no. You're perfect, and I love you. You're my child, so just respond to that. don't earn anything here. You just respond to who I've made you. And Paul doesn't stop there, though, and here's where we'll wrap. He says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God, as beloved children would imitate their father, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. Now, this would be impossible. This would be impossible, and if not even crazy, to try to imitate the love and the forgiveness and the grace of God, especially in our little lives. But listen, it would be crazy were it not that we happened to be, through baptism, the ones who God loves, the ones who God has forgiven. We are the graced children of God, and so we are imitators of God. In a world of hate, we're able to love because we've been loved. In a world of war, we are able to be at peace because we have been made at peace with God. And we can forgive. Why? Because we've been what? Come on, church. Why? We've been forgiven. We've been forgiven. And finally, Paul uses this little phrase that says, live a life of love. And in live, it's this interesting word called peripateo in the Greek. It says to walk around. So when he calls us to imitate our Father, he's calling us to walk around as our Father walks. So when the swindlers of fear and pride roll into town, we don't have to want to buy their wares. We don't have to try on their clothes because, imagine, we're wearing our Father's clothes. And it's like they're too big for us, right? Righteousness and holiness. And we stumble over them sometimes. You know, like when kids wear a t-shirt that's too long, or you know how we're toddlers? You guys remember? And you fall down. And we got these robes on. And instead of being mad when we fall down, just like we do with our kids, our Heavenly Father just looks at us and smiles because he couldn't be more proud of who you are because you're wearing the clothes and you're his children. And he smiles because he's so proud. And he looks down and he picks you up because he loves you so much, like you do with your children. And you pick them up. And you start walking. And you walk in a way that you've never felt so completely loved ever. Is that how you feel about your faith? Is that how every moment of your day transpires? Is that the way that you deal with other people? Is that the way that you come to church for worship? If not, today is the first day to take that step. Allow this truth to be your truth. Just take a deep breath. And don't listen to the swindlers. Don't listen to the other people telling you what to do. Listen to Jesus who said, I love you. And love one another. You're a child of God. Now walk this way. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, is it possible that your good news in the midst of our narcissism and failings and greed and all of the things that you've rescued us from, that we could simply keep wanting to run back to that? Is it possible that your word, that your truth would cut through for us this morning and transform, that someone might find themselves saying, no, the emperor has nothing on. I have nothing on. I'm putting on what you've placed on me, God. Would that be the place that the children thrive and our purpose soars and our light shines because we simply live into who you've made us to be and see each other the way that you see us? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.